Hi, everybody. Jimmy Z here. And I was setting myself up, setting up the levels, and absentmindedly blathering with the music there, carrying on with my opening music, and there you have it. I decided to make it part of the show so that you could enjoy what I was enjoying in headphones. a wonderful piece of music it was. My name is Jimmy Z, and this is what passes for radio on the internet. Just so you know. Anyway, we got a big show for you, of course, and I'm going to try and do what I did last time. Worked out pretty well. We got a lot of information covered in 1 hour. I think today is going to be a 2-hour show, and so we should be able to cover all kinds of stuff in the 2 hours we have together. So once again, it's the Jimmy Z Show, rapid fire news and commentary. Oh, yeah. All right, first up, it's Democrats in the news. This is a story at Newsbusters, and they kind of slam NBC News for not mentioning the party of the Democrat mayor of Charlotte, North Carolina. But for me, I really don't care about that. We know that the media is biased. I'm celebrating the news that Mayor Patrick Cannon, an African-American Democrat, was arrested. He was busted by the FBI after a sting operation several years in the making. And CBS News has an article this morning that Mayor Patrick Cannon has resigned after his arrest on corruption charges. The mayor of North Carolina's largest city resigned on Wednesday after his arrest on public corruption charges. U.S. Attorney Ann Tompkins on Wednesday said that Charlotte Mayor Patrick Cannon is facing theft and bribery charges. Tompkins says that Cannon solicited, so he was looking for bribes and accepted bribes from undercover FBI agents posing as real estate developers who wanted to do business in Charlotte. On the most recent occasion, on February 21st, Cannon allegedly accepted $20,000 in cash in the mayor's office. And now here's another guy. This guy's in California. State Senator Leyland Yee has been arrested on corruption charges in another FBI sting. And this is a big story. State Senator Leyland Yee, a prominent figure in California's Democratic legislative majority, and that's a supermajority, because the Republicans don't have enough people in California's state legislature to stop anything that the Democrats want to do. So this guy is one of the top Democrats in Sacramento, and he was arrested in a federal corruption investigation on Wednesday, along with an ostentatious gangster known as Shrimp Boy, who insisted that he had gone straight, along with 24 of their associates. This is a big arrest. Another corrupt Democrat. Also, this guy is from San Francisco, the same area that Nancy Pelosi is from. And he's running for, in the next election, he's a candidate for the California Secretary of State. The charges sent shockwaves through the San Francisco and Sacramento political establishments as FBI agents searched Yee's Capitol office. Last year, the FBI raided the offices of Senator Ron Calderon, a Democrat from Montebello, who was targeted in a bribery sting. And so I want you to hear a little bit of John and Ken talking about the two previous Democrats who've had troubles with the law.
Here's an update from corrupt Sacramento, where we have two Democratic state senators in a lot of legal trouble. One's already been convicted. That's State Senator Roderick Wright, who was convicted, of course, for not living in the Senate district when he ran for office a few years back.
He faked living in Inglewood. He was living in Baldwin Hills. So he ran for office in a district that he didn't live in. Which, I mean, the whole premise of him running for election was a fraud. But he hasn't been kicked out even after the conviction. He's still in the state Senate.
They'd have to take a vote. Daryl Steinberg has no plans to take a vote. However, there's news today. Are you ready? Roderick Wright is going to take a leave of absence with pay pending his felony case. I repeat, with pay.
With pay.
He will be sentenced supposedly on May 16th on the 8 felony counts of perjury and voter fraud.
Yeah.
He's going to ask the judge, and on that date, the judge is expected to make a decision. Rod Wright's going to look at the judge and says, oh, just overturn that decision. It's not going to happen.
You know what I love?
This is like magic.
You know, our last story was a guy who got a parking ticket at a malfunctioning meter.
Broken.
It was a broken meter. And he got the ticket anyway. He sent in evidence that it was broken. And
You're using the city's terminology now. Don't say malfunctioning. It's broken.
It was broken. And he sends in evidence, right? Video evidence. And the city ignored him. They still wanted the money. Here you have a guy, Roderick Wright, this dirtbag, sleazebag, lying, conniving felon. This guy is actually convicted on what, like 8 felonies?
Yeah.
8 felonies.
8 felony counts of perjury and voter fraud.
And guess what? Because he's a state senator, he gets a leave of absence with pay. A private citizen tries to contest a parking ticket, and he's dismissed. A state senator actually gets convicted of 8 felonies. He's like, hey, here's a few more months' pay, courtesy of the taxpayers.
Take
what do you say?
Take some time off and deal with your legal troubles.
Yeah. Maybe you can go on a few lobbyist-paid junkets between now and May.
Steinberg issued a statement. Yes, Wright's requested an indefinite leave of absence pending the conclusion of his legal process. I've accepted his request, and I wish him well going forward.
I wish him well.
Boy, these guys are nothing but corrupt cronies.
They are. They are corrupt.
And you know what part of it is? They don't really want to lose their supermajority.
Well, that's
they don't want to deal with the open seat. Just keep that seat warm with Roderick Wright, a Democrat, in it, and we'll figure it out later.
Well, that's the thing.
They're going to wait till he's in jail?
They want to push Calderon out immediately, Ron Calderon, and he's being indicted on accepting $100,000 worth of bribes.
24 counts of fraud.
Plus 100 other things.
Bribery and
but what. They wanted to keep Wright on because if Calderon and Wright are kicked out of the Senate, then they lose their two-thirds supermajority, which is what they need to raise taxes, for example. So the reason Wright was getting protected is Steinberg knew that Calderon was about to get indicted, and he knew that he was going to have to kick out Calderon. But he wanted to hold on to Wright for at least a few months because they're in session. You know, the budget's coming up.
Yeah.
And they want their two-thirds majority to make everything
clean.
Clean. And
get it all done by the deadline so they get their paychecks.
Otherwise, the Republicans can start blocking things.
Here is, speaking of Calderon, Daryl Steinberg, and they're giving Calderon about a week. Let's hear it.
I am happy to give Senator Calderon a week. Senator Calderon has been accused of very serious crimes, but he hasn't been convicted of anything. And thus expulsion would be premature.
Well, and this is why Calderon's ass is grass. Because on Friday, that former hospital executive, he owned Pacific Hospital in Long Beach, his name is Michael D. Drobot, he filed a plea agreement that will have him testifying against Calderon and also pleading guilty to 2 counts that could send Drobot to federal prison for as long as 10 years. This is the biggest of the two scams involved in Senator Ron Calderon's charges that he accepted all sorts of payoffs, plane trips, golf outings, expensive dinners.
And $100,000 in cash. So now let's see, Drobot is going to
He could help Drobot out in Sacramento with legislation dealing with Drobot's hospital business, spinal surgeries.
Anyway. Yeah, Drobot ran this crooked spinal surgery business that workers' comp had to pay for. And Drobot is something else. He had companies that made the spinal surgery equipment, And then he sold the equipment to himself because he owned the hospital and the supply companies. So he sold it to himself at vastly inflated prices and then charged workers' comp. So the workers' comp fund was paying enormous amounts of money to Drobot. And they were going to pass a law in Sacramento to put a stop on this.
Yeah.
And that's where Calderon came in, took $100,000, took plane trips, took golf outings, expensive dinners. Drobot paid $30,000 over three summers for Calderon's son to work at his company. Calderon's son showed up for 15 days of work each summer. So he'd get 30 grand for 3 weeks of work.
So they've got undercover FBI agents with the other part of the Calderon indictment, which deals with the phony film studio. And now they got Drobot with the hospital fraud going to testify. Calderon has to make a deal. He has to go away. There is just no way in the world. Even the wonderful Mark Garagos cannot get a not guilty out of this. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, because...
And speaking of the stink, and that's what he even says in the LA Weekly, the Drobot stink. You know, Drobot is represented by a law firm called Roxborough, Pomerantz, Nye, and Adriani. Well, guess who had to resign last year from that law firm because of this? Daryl Steinberg, right back in the big circle.
Isn't it a cesspool?
It is.
It is a sewer.
They're all like 6 degrees of separation from each other corrupt.
Yeah. So you have all these dirtbags. Why would you give these dirtbags a supermajority? This is what it like just absolutely is flabbergasting.
Why would you give Roger Cried a paid leave of absence?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Convicted. God, how many times, John, have we heard, well, wait till the justice system speaks and a jury has voted. Well, it did. Out.
Yeah.
No money. Out.
Because Steinberg's is corrupt.
Should be in cuffs.
He's with the law firm. He's with the law firm that's representing Drobot.
He just resigned, though.
But he was there. What did this law firm do? This law firm represents dirty guys?
Maybe. They deal with all the politicians and all the Sacramento lobbyists.
Yeah, different rats swimming in the same sewer together.
All right, so that's John and Ken. And they explain very well that the reason Democrats are putting up with these people is because they do not want to give up their supermajority in Sacramento. And what's really sad is that our laws allow this. Allow men and women who are convicted of crimes to remain viable in state government. It's deplorable. It's deplorable. This is the article at the CBS affiliate in Sacramento. A state senator convicted of perjury and voter fraud took an indefinite leave of absence on Tuesday as he awaits sentencing in May. And so he is still viable. He still counts as part of the Democratic majority in Sacramento. Senator Roderick Wright, a Democrat who represents a Los Angeles area district, and he is African-American. And, of course, it's very important to point that out because since Barack Obama has become president, skin color matters more than anything else. He requested the leave of absence during a meeting with Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg. Now, he's not waiting to go to trial. Oh, no. He's been convicted. He's a convict, and he is still part of the legislative body in Sacramento. And I've also got an article here about Senator Ron Calderon, another corrupt Democrat, only this guy has brown skin. He is Hispanic, a Hispanic Democrat in Sacramento, and he's going to be charged, or he is charged, he's going to be tried in a major corruption case. A California state senator was charged with accepting $100,000 in bribes, lavish trips, and no-show jobs for his children. Jeez, these are jobs that people pay his children for not showing up to do, in exchange for pushing legislation to benefit a hospital engaged in billing fraud and participating in a film industry tax scheme that actually was an FBI sting. These are Democrat politicians. All right, we've got much more show to go, many more items to talk about. It's the Jimmy Z Show right here at thejimmyzshow.com.
They don't want to deal with the open seat. Just keep that seat warm with Roderick Wright, a Democrat, in it, and we'll figure it out later.
Wait, this is the Jimmy Z Show.
Coffee, 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 oh, hey, coffee, 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 oh. Z Show. Jimmy Z Show. Jimmy Z Show.
Jimmy Z, this is the United States calling. Repeat, this is the United States calling. Jimmy Z, do you copy? Over.
From behind enemy lines in the socialist state of California, you have found the Jimmy Z Show. Show number 1119, hour number 1876.
Jimmy?
I am the eyes and ears of this institution.
You've heard of HD radio, and you've heard of HD TV. This is HD ZZZ.
I'm not a fudge packer.
This hour of the Jimmy Z Show is also heard on...
The Planet Z Network, 405media.com, Right Talk Radio, Net Talk World, Ghost Fighter Radio, Red State Talk Radio, Pundit Press Radio, Talk Stream Live, KTFL 1620 AM, Automatic, WTSA Internet Radio, Calgary Nation Radio, and TalkSuperStation.com.
Nationwide and around the world, Boss Talk Radio presents the Jimmy Z Show.
I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Hi, everybody!
Hello, my friends, and welcome. Jimmy Z, the Big Jimmy Z Show, right here at thejimmyzshow.com. I want to thank you for listening. If you want to contact the show for any reason whatsoever, the email address is jz@thejimmyzshow.com. And if you want to call and record your comments for playback on the next day's show, the phone number is 714-905-9591. All right, we're going to continue now with much more rapid-fire news and commentary. The next story is an amazing story. This University of California Santa Barbara feminist professor is now facing charges after attacking pro-life protesters on campus. Now get this. This woman is a big fat turd wagon. She's African American. And she, and again, that's important because ever since Barack Obama became president, nothing is more important than someone's skin color. And in fact, every time I talk about anybody, I should be saying this is a white guy, this is a white woman, this is an African-American man, this is a Hispanic man, Hispanic woman, this is an Asian guy. Well, Leyland Yee, we talked about him in the California State Legislature. He's Asian. Like, I need to say that, but I probably do. Anyway, so this woman is a pear-shaped African-American professor at California, at the University of California in Santa Barbara, which is Santa Barbara's, you know, a college town, so it's kind of liberal. But if you come to Southern California on vacation, Santa Barbara is a beautiful place. It is really nice up there. It's about 2 hours north of Los Angeles. Anyway, so this woman is a teacher. She's a professor at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and she teaches feminism and pornography. I'm not kidding. I'm not making it up. That's what she teaches. You can take a course, apparently, in pornography. I wonder if you can major in pornography. I have a degree in pornography. Anyway, so this is the next big story on the Jimmy Z Show.
The feud at UC Santa Barbara was over a pro-life poster, one that Professor Marielle Miller Young allegedly took from Joan Short and her group of friends who were at the campus March 4th sharing their views against abortion.
I mean, you're a terrorist.
They were stealing our sign. They were breaking the law right then.
Joan Shore could be heard on the video calling the police. Her 16-year-old sister, Thren, was videotaping the encounter, which included the professor kicking her foot that was holding the elevator door open and pushing the teen out of the elevator, causing scratches on her arm.
She was shouting obscenities at us.
The group of young women, many attend Thomas Aquinas College in Santa Paula, say the ordeal began in the free speech area of the campus. They say that's when Professor Miller Young, who is an associate professor of feminist studies, approached them.
First, she wanted the students to tear it down for her. And then when she realized that people weren't really going to do that, and she just grabbed it right out of Sarah's hands.
They say the professor also made a startling announcement that she herself was pregnant.
She just told us right out that if there was something wrong with the baby, if she found out that it had Down syndrome or something, then she was going to have an abortion.
Miller Young reportedly destroyed the poster.
It's disturbing. I'll grant you that. We hate it. We want people to see it because it's real.
The professor is now facing three misdemeanor charges that include theft from a person, battery, and vandalism. We reached out to the professor and UC Santa Barbara. The school, currently on spring break, released this statement. The university is aware of the incident and it is being reviewed by the appropriate offices. It is policy not to comment on personnel matters. Personnel matters are considered confidential. Miller Young did not return our call. She is due in court next month, and if convicted, she faces up to 2.5 years behind bars. Amy Johnson, CBS 2 News.
Okay, I think I talked about this before. First of all, not this story, but something I'm about to talk about. Could I be more confusing? Let me go at it this way. First off, these protesters have a right on that campus in the free speech area to hold up signs and protest pro-life, pro-abortion, pro-whatever, anti-whatever. It's a free speech zone. And a professor has no right to grab any of the materials away from the protesters or destroy a poster or anything that she did. So I respect the right of the protesters here. And in fact, I agree with their position on abortion. I'm against abortion. But now this is the part I've talked about before. I am not a fan of these huge posters of gruesome photographs of aborted babies. I think that it's not convincing anyone, and you're forcing people to look at this when a lot of people like myself, I don't need to see that. It disturbs me so much, and I have a very low threshold for blood and gore. And so I don't want to see that. And I think you need to be a little bit more, the protesters should be a little more compassionate with people who, even if they agree with the pro-life position, believe that these photographs are out of line. There is also a report at Fox News on the same story. A feminist studies professor at a California State University is facing criminal charges after a videotaped run-in with a teenage pro-life demonstrator in which she snatched an anti-abortion sign and appeared to get physical with the girl. And it says here that she was free to, talking about the professor, she was free to engage in a rational dialogue with them. Instead, she chose to bully them, steal and destroy their property, and hit and scratch my daughter. This is the father, obviously. After doing so, she said she thought she was setting a good example for her students. Oh, wow. This is the pornography professor. She teaches college courses, on pornography.
All right, students. I'm going to turn the lights out and we're going to watch some anal sex today.
Wow, this is some class. Oh, and one more article about this woman. The professor of feminist studies and porn at the University of California in Santa Barbara. This article is at the Daily Caller. The feminist professor says now, she's claiming that she has a moral right. Hang on, I'm waiting for pop-ups to go away. She has a moral right to attack the 16-year-old abortion foe and destroy her sign. And you know, I gotta say something about the Daily Caller. This website has become absolutely impossible to read articles on. It has so many ads and so many scripts that are running behind what you're trying to read. The page won't even scroll up and down. You can't even grab the scroll bar on the side and move the damn page up and down. And I'm not even going to read much of this article, just the first bit here, as soon as I can get the page to move. This is ridiculous. And these people, by the way, they know that their websites run this way. But they get paid for all this advertising. I swear I don't have any idea why they would think that this is a good way to run a news website. The official report from the police at the University of California in Santa Barbara has been released and says that, in essence, the professor said that she felt triggered in a negative way by graphic images on the anti-abortion poster and on anti-abortion literature that demonstrators were handing out on March 4th. The feminist studies professor, who specializes in, oh, get this, queer theory and pornography, said, queer theory, wow, there's another class, said that she felt the protesters had no right to be on the UC Santa Barbara campus, quote, because the poster was upsetting to her and to other students. Well, we wouldn't want anyone to upset anyone over abortion. And I guess if free speech can be limited because somebody is getting upset, then all anyone has to do is voice their concern about being upset by anyone's viewpoint, and that person will get shut down. And that person's free speech will be cut off. Because you can't say that, you can't show that, you can't speak that, you can't illustrate that, because it upsets people. Oh, brother. You know, this woman, this African-American turd wagon, who is a professor of feminism, queer theory, and pornography, is quite a numbskull when it comes to free speech rights, even in an area on campus that is designated as a free speech area. Anyway, we're moving on. Here's an update on the, again, I've got to specify that this is an African-American woman. This is the young woman who went the wrong way on the freeway at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, drunk, and killed 6 people. It says here at KTLA, a 21-year-old Fontana woman who has been charged in connection with a horrific crash in Diamond Bar that left 6 people dead, including the woman's own sister, appeared in Pomona Superior Court on Wednesday for an arraignment hearing, which was postponed because she's still really screwed up. She's on a gurney. Olivia Carolee Culbreth has been charged with 6 counts of murder after allegedly driving a 2013 Chevrolet Camaro the wrong way on the 60 freeway in the early morning hours of Sunday, February 9th, and colliding head-on with a 1998 Ford Explorer, according to the district attorney. And here's a piece of audio from CBS2, that's the CBS affiliate here in Los Angeles.
Olivia Culbreth is charged with several counts of murder in a wrong-way crash that killed 6 people. As CBS2's Tom Wade explains, one of the victims was the driver's sister.
Seen here during happier times, in a photo posted on social media, Olivia Culbreth appeared today in court looking dramatically different. The 21-year-old is still recovering from this horrific crash. Although no cameras were allowed in court, we can tell you Culbreth remains confined to a gurney. Her attorney says she's unable to walk and her emotional state is fragile.
And Ms. Culbreth, understandably, is very scared given the situation that she's in. She does realize that she's charged with 6 counts of murder at this point. At the same time, she's also grieving for the people that that died as a result of this incident.
Colbreth is facing 6 murder charges in connection with this deadly collision. Police say Colbreth was driving drunk and going the wrong way on the 60 freeway back in February. Her own sister was killed in the crash along with a friend and 4 other people in another vehicle. Colbreth herself was also severely hurt.
She still has some significant medical issues that she has to go undergo. She's had several surgeries.
After the crash, it was uncovered that Colbreth had 2 suspensions on her driving record. According to the DMV, Colbreth's license was suspended twice, once in 2010 when she was 17 for excessive blood alcohol content and once for negligence. Her license was reinstated less than a week before the deadly collision. Colbreth did not enter a plea today. That will likely happen in May. Lawyers asked for more time. As for her bond, it remains at $6 million.
All right, well, it's a horrific story, and the girl is facing 6 counts of murder, and I suspect that she's going to work out a plea deal because she's in deep trouble. If she goes to trial, she is going to be convicted of 6 counts of murder, and she can't, she'd be in jail for the rest of her life, which she deserves, by the way. You know, the lawyer, the public, what do they call it? The public attorney, the public defender. He's saying that she's scared. Well, she ought to be. She killed 6 people. This was not an accident. She did it on purpose. She got drunk and got behind the wheel. You know, there are some things that are genuine accidents where people make a mistake. This is not that. This is purposely. She has a history of getting behind the wheel and driving while stupid. You know, if you're sober and you get behind the wheel and you're driving and you look down at the wrong time. You look down at the wrong time. And I'm sorry, I had to bleep myself there. I burped. But if you're looking down or you do something, you fidget with the kid or whatever, and you get involved in an accident, that is an accident. When you drink yourself into intoxication and you get behind the wheel and you and your friends and your sister is in the car and you're having a good time and you're driving the wrong way on the freeway, this is not an accident. This is murder. Somebody in the car should have done something. Turn the steering wheel and push the car over to the side of the road and turn the key off. Something. Because even if they crashed on their own, they might have been better off instead of hitting another car head on. Horrific. And the girl really, I'm not saying that she should not spend the rest of her life in jail. I'm saying that they're probably going to cut a plea deal and put her in jail for 20 or 30 years because she's in deep manure. All right, next up, coming up, is Audio Mayhem on the Jimmy Z Show.
It's Audio Mayhem!
Oh, yeah. That's the great sound effect I came up with for Audio Mayhem.
It's Audio Mayhem!
All right. All right, first up, this is audio from the Morning Joe program on MSNBC. A couple of 2 or 3 people with Joe Scarborough mocking President Obama's foreign policy and everything that's happening with Russia.
I find it hard to believe that if, and I'll be bipartisan here, that if Bill Clinton were president of the United States or George H.W. Bush were president of the United States, they wouldn't have already sent somebody, James Baker or somebody over to be working with Angela Merkel's top leaders to figure this thing out.
At the moment,
they don't have those relationships.
At the moment when the demonstration started in Ukraine, that should have happened. And who would that person be? I mean, there is no Clark Clifford around these days. You know, who would that person be?
Hasn't John Kerry been talking with officials across Europe and Russian officials?
Didn't he go meet with Lavrov? And didn't he go? Hasn't he?
Lavrov, who, in meeting with Kerry, tried to call Putin to talk about some deal, and Putin wouldn't take his call. Let me say one thing. Literally, Putin wouldn't take the call. He's like, I got John Kerry here.
Oh, this is so funny. You've got these people on the Joe Scarborough program, Morning Joe, relatively liberal people, poking fun at Obama and John Kerry and the foreign policy that is El Stinko. That's great stuff. All right, here's more great stuff. This is even better. Here's Barack Obama somewhere. I'm trying to figure out where this was. But Barack Obama is overseas in Europe somewhere. And he's taking questions. It's a press conference. Takes a few questions and finishes up. And you hear the sound of one person clapping. One person. This is so great.
The good news is that I'm very confident that it can be achieved. And I'm also confident that the core values that America has always believed in terms of privacy, rule of law, individual rights, that has guided the United States for many years and will continue to guide us into the future. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. Okay. Thank you again.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. Thank you very much for coming.
All right, well, that's the President of the United States. And I'm going to play this again because it's so delightful. But I want you to consider what he's talking about. Because we don't know exactly what the question was, but it doesn't matter. Because the crap coming out of... the crap coming out of Obama's mouth is the same kind of crap that always comes out of his mouth. For just about anything, he could be answering any of a dozen different kinds of questions on a half dozen different issues. He's got like a pull string in his back. And someone will ask the President of the United States a question, and somebody pulls the string behind his back. And out comes the answer, which is a predictable load of hoo-ha.
The good news is that I'm very confident that it can be achieved. And I'm also confident that the core values that America has always believed in terms of privacy, rule of law, individual rights, that has guided the United States for many years and will continue to guide us into the future. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. Okay. Thank you again.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. Thank you very much for coming.
Oh, that's so funny. Mr. Obama, I'm sorry, that did not go well at all. Oh, man. And, you know, he's there as the President of the United States because he is the President of the United States, and he's doing a press conference. And then at the end, as if he's just hanging with his buddies, he says, "Oh, thank you very much, everybody." He sounds so dumb sometimes. All right, that is the President of the United States, President Barack Obozo. Here's the next piece of audio. This is on CNN, and you're going to hear the president talking at one of the other appearances that he has made since he's been in Europe. And then Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank. He's a wealthy investor, very smart, economically speaking. And I think that my theory is that CNN had him on and did not expect him to be such a conservative because he's on Shark Tank, which is an ABC television program. And ABC is pretty liberal. And so I don't think they expected him to be so fiscally conservative. But this is a great piece of audio. Kevin O'Leary talking about Obama's economy with an anchor at CNN. And by the way, I really like Shark Tank. It's a very interesting program to see how these wealthy people spend their money. And if they're talking about $25,000, $50,000, $75,000, that's a drop in the bucket. But they're still very careful about how they invest their money with these inventors and entrepreneurs who are trying to get their companies off the ground. Anyway, here he is talking about our economy.
Is it a war on the 1% or just leveling the playing field? President Obama tripled down today.
While those at the top are doing better than ever, average wages have barely budged. Too many Americans are working harder than ever just to keep up. And it's our job to reverse those trends. We've got to build an economy that works for everyone, not just a fortunate few. We've got to restore opportunity for all people.
An economy that works for everyone, not just a fortunate few. The president wants to change that, wants to raise the minimum wage by 39%. Kevin O'Leary makes a living helping small business owners become millionaires. That's his job. He's a judge on ABC's reality show Shark Tank.
But I'll make you a $100,000 offer for 40%.
You thief! You really do come in on a broom.
Problem after problem.
You know, one of the biggest problems, you got to listen to this every day.
Kevin is out front tonight. All right, so the president making the point that average wages have barely budged. People are working hard and not able to achieve the American dream. How can you deny that the economy is only working for a few right now?
The numbers don't support that. This vilification of the rich and the 1% and the delta between the 1% and everybody else, it's always existed in America, and thank goodness that's the case, because this is the essence of what makes capitalism work. The problem today is lack of jobs. When you talk about not having a rate hike in wages, it's because there's so many people unemployed. It's basically a demand situation. But why is that the case, Aaron? The president talks about using government policy to level the playing field. That's exactly what we don't need. There are over 20 million small businesses in America. Mm-hmm. That is where the job growth will come from domestically, because large companies have already figured out that they can move their jobs offshore and have done that already. That's why they've been so successful and have created so much earnings, record earnings in the S&P. Let's go back to what matters in America, those 20 million men and women that are creating jobs for Americans. And the last thing they need is this advice from the president.
Here's my question, though, because according to Oxfam, which is, you know, one report, they say the richest 1% in the world own 46% of global wealth. That's an incredible number. And some people might just turn this on you and say, well, you know what, Kevin? Clearly, governments are supporting the 1% because they're getting more and more of the wealth.
Sure. But let's remember those.
So why not change policy now and help the less fortunate?
Because it would be a huge mistake. The reason they're the 1% is they created businesses, products, and services that were very successful, employed millions of people, paid billions in taxes. And let's not forget, Aaron, that all of the wealth in America doesn't come from government at all. It comes from the back of people like the 1% that created the businesses, hundreds of thousands of jobs. We then tax them, and by the way, the 1% get taxed at 38%. The middle class that we're trying to help only pay 12% on average. The numbers just don't support the idea of trying to steal from the rich and give to the poor. This isn't a Robin Hood society. This is a society
steal
based...
Steal is a strong word.
But look, you can't do that. You can't just decide to come out of the blue and say, I'm going to change policy, change the rules on you, who've taken all the risk and created all the jobs. That doesn't work. Here's what does work. Less government, less taxation, less regulations, and let those men and women in small business create those jobs for us. They don't need more government. They need less.
So what's interesting, though, is, okay, you're going about it from a very different way than the president, but it seems to me that people like you actually agree with him on something that's very important.
What and would
let me,
that be?
Well, let me play it for you. I have it here.
No matter who you are, where you come from, what you look like, how you started out, if you are willing to work hard and take responsibility, you can get ahead in America.
You have to agree with every word of that.
Of course I do. But to make that easier for me, if I was running a business with, let's say, 5 employees and I was thinking of hiring 2 more, I wouldn't want you to increase my labor costs by 39%, because then I can't employ any more people. In fact, I don't want you telling me what I should be paying them. I want the market to do that.
All right, so you're talking about the minimum wage here.
A huge issue.
But the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, has come out and said, yes, that you would bring a lot of people out of poverty by doing this.
That's not the job of policy in the private sector. What we should be doing to get people out of, you know, the situation they're in unemployment and poverty is creating more jobs so that everybody has that opportunity to work. That's what Americans want to do. They want to find a job.
But haven't you had it your way? I mean, people say, look at what happened to Wall Street, right? There was a lack of regulation. What happened there? Well, that was a disaster. Minimum wage has been where it is for a long time. And jobs haven't been created. So I could say, look, your way's not working.
It is working. The trouble with our job situation is our anemic growth. You know, our 3% less GDP growth when China's growing at 5 and 6 yeah. and 7%. We have created such a regulatory environment today that even a small business, and I keep pounding the table on this, has to spend $20,000 to $30,000 a year just complying with the 2,800 regulations we layered on them federally last year, let alone the state and local. You know, Aaron, I invest in small businesses every week. That's what I do. I'm an investor. You should have these people talk to you. Or even better still, let the president talk to somebody who's running a 17-person business in Massachusetts or 30 employees in California and hear what they say. They would not agree with him. And I think that is the core and the essence of America that we're not listening to. We need to listen to these people. They should tell us what to do. And what they want right now is less government.
All right. That's Kevin O'Leary on CNN. I like that guy. I like that guy a lot. All right, I got to take a break real quick here and come right back with much more. The Jimmy Z Show continues. Don't go anywhere.
We have created such a regulatory environment today that even a small business, and I keep pounding the table on this, has to spend $20,000 to $30,000 a year just complying with the 2,800 regulations we layered on them federally last year, let alone the state and local.
You're listening to The Jimmy Z Show. Jimmy Z.
I am not going to let liberals walk away from the label, from the correct label, liberal. Notice that they know liberal is a bad word. It carries with it a connotation of being stupid.
The Jimmy Z Show.
Everybody, it's the captain, and you're listening to Jimmy Z here on NetTalk World Global Talk Radio, home of quality radio talk shows like Jimmy Z, The Captain's America, Talk Show America, The Kyle Warren Show, and New Media Journal Radio. Now back to more Jimmy Z.
TalkSuperstation.com.
The Internet's Talk Superstation.
Wall-to-wall programming, and boy, could these walls talk.
TalkSuperstation.com.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the Internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular Internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Tune into Ghost Fighter Radio. Ghost Fighter Radio. Ghost Fighter Radio. Ghost Fighter Radio. For the greatest shows on the net, Andrea Shea King, Jimmy Z, Captain's America, Darren Marlar, Getting After Lefty, The Conservative Brigade, and many more. And many more. Ghost Fighter Radio. Go to theghostfighters.net, where we are fighting the forces of tyranny. One radio show at a time. Ghost Fighter Radio. Ghost Fighter Radio. Ghost Fighter Radio.
You know, from a lot of internet radio, you get a lot of
blah, 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 blah.
Not from the Jimmy Z Show. The Jimmy Z Show, heard every day, Monday through Friday, and some weekends at thejimmyzshow.com.
This son of a bitch, this guy, this is one of the most vile human beings ever to live. He would open gas chambers. He would line people up against the wall and execute them. He would destroy children. This is a sick, degenerate, evil man. This is not First Amendment protected speech. This son of a bitch is evil, rotten to the core. Whatever he comes up with, I don't know how he can get any worse than this. But somebody someplace is going to listen to him, and that'll be it. Why is he on the air?
Jimmy Z.
Welcome back, everybody. Jimmy Z, the Big Jimmy Z Show. Right here at thejimmyzshow.com. I want to thank you for listening, and thank you for taking my program and passing it along to your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, and your coworkers, all those people that you know who should be paying more attention to what's happening in our country. And you know, every now and then I should mention that that audio clip I played, which I love to play, I think that is so great. That's Mike Malloy, a far left, obviously, far left liberal agitator, insane radio guy, and he was attacking Rush Limbaugh. That's who he was talking about there. I think it's funny, and I play it, and it's kind of applies to me, I suppose, in some ways, but he was actually talking about Rush Limbaugh, saying that Rush Limbaugh would line people up against the wall and shoot them. It's crazy talk, but that's who Mike Malloy is. All right, next up, the White House expresses supposed deep disappointment after the Saudis deny a visa to a journalist from the Jerusalem Post. And this is at the Jerusalem Post online. And it says the White House expressed deep disappointment on Tuesday over Saudi Arabia's decision to deny an entry visa to the Jerusalem Post's Washington bureau chief, who was planning to cover President Barack Obama's visit to the Desert Kingdom this week. On Monday, they denied a visa to Michael Wilner, who was the only journalist denied access to the president's trip, despite firmly worded requests from the U.S. National Security Advisor Susan Rice. There she is. The liar, Susan Rice. And it says here that the U.S. National Security Council spokesperson Bernadette Meehan said on Tuesday, "We are deeply disappointed that this credible journalist was denied a visa." Look, if this was President Bush or President Reagan, or even President Clinton, I don't think this kind of crap would happen. The only reason the Saudis feel that they can get away with this is because it's President Obama. That's why. It's President Obozo. And they don't take him seriously. They don't respect him. Nobody respects him. I've got another thing in here about disrespecting President Obama. But, wow, that's quite a story if you think about it. Let's see if I can find that story. What was it? I'm thinking now. I wrote about this on Facebook a couple of days ago. Oh, I remember. It's this new story about another Secret Service scandal. The Secret Service agents on the Obama detail were sent home from the Netherlands after getting drunk off their ass. In fact, I think it was a number of Secret Service agents. A couple of them got drunk, and a couple other agents did not report them for getting drunk. It was whatever the timing was, they were not supposed to be drunk. And so the Secret Service agents who did not report these clowns were also sent home. And the article here at the Washington Post says, three Secret Service agents responsible for protecting President Obama in Amsterdam this week were sent home and put on administrative leave on Sunday after going out for a night of drinking, according to three people familiar with the incident. Now, I have figured out why it is that we've had two Secret Service scandals during Obama's administration. One was down in South America with the prostitution scandal, and now you've got drunk Secret Service agents. These are the guys who are designated, assigned to protect the president while he's overseas, and they're drunk off their ass. Why do you think that is? Do you really believe that all of a sudden the Secret Service, the people within the Secret Service, are complete losers? And yes, to a certain extent, this is loser behavior. But the reason why this is happening is because these men and women in the Secret Service do not respect President Obama. It's my opinion that these people in the Secret Service are not thrilled with the job of protecting President Obozo. And that's not to say that they want him any harm to come to him. They just don't like the man. They don't respect him, and they don't enjoy being Secret Service agents. I'm out of time for this hour. Click the player for side two, and we'll talk there.
The Jimmy Z Show.